This is Rabbi Chaim Ressler of Scranton. When did you first come to know about the Rosh Hashiva?
About the Rosh Hashiva?
Yes.
So when I was a kid, everyone knew about the Rosh Hashiva.
Where were you?
I was, you know, I asked you about Yechiel Per. Rabbi Per, his father, Zichron Levrach.
Right.
He was my rabbi. I was like a Ben Bias.
Where?
In South Ozone Park, Queens.
Oh, there was yeshiva there?
There was no yeshiva. He was the rav of a shul there.
Uh-huh.
The man was a tzaddik. I mean, Adam Gazakti was from the Lamed Vavnik. So he was a very special person.
About Rabbi Per.
Rabbi Per, yeah. He learned in Slobodka. He was, and he knew the yeshivas. In fact, when I was a kid, I still remember when I was, I'm talking 10.
So you're from East New York?
No, not East New York. South Ozone Park.
South Ozone Park.
That's a part of Queens.
Uh-huh.
Not that far from East New York, but it's not. It's Queens. And I still remember the Rosh Hashiva saying, and the Rosh Hashiva learned in, the Rabbi Per, I mean, Rabbi Per learned in Slobodka.
What was his full name?
Rabbi Nachum Mendel Per.
Uh-huh. And he was a rabbi in Ozone Park.
South Ozone
Park. And that's where you lived?
That's where I lived, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you learned by this rav?
I mean, yeah, it used to be a Ben Bias in the house.
Okay, there was a yeshiva there or what?
No, there was no yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
There was no yeshiva there.
Uh-huh.
So, I still remember when I was a young kid, I still remember saying, the yeshiva, meaning the Rav Aaron Zichron Levrach, the yeshiva, evase Merviat Galant. Now, he told me, he was like, I mean, the awe and the reverence that was, you know, I mean, I knew about him since I was a kid.
Yeah, this is important.
Yeah.
So you, that's...
Knew about him, not knew him.
You knew about him through the
through Rabbi Per, and through Yechiel Per also. I mean.
Uh-huh. And, okay, now, when did you first have an idea to come to the yeshiva?
I was in Vineland, Rav Moshe Eisman, who was a Talmud of the yeshiva.
Uh-huh. What year was that?
I'll have to give it to you b'misparam.
Yeah.
If you don't
it's
mind.
All right. No, it's not...
I went in 57 to Rav Moshe Eisman,
uh-huh.
And in 59 I came to Lakewood.
Where were you before Moshe Eisman?
I was in Heichal HaTorah, the London.
Oh, by London, okay.
Yeah.
What year was that?
Oh, I was there for 4 years.
Wait, somebody's trying to wait, hold it. Phone, they don't listen.
Yeah.
So you were in Heichal HaTorah when?
53 to 57.
53 to 57. That's interesting. Because I think my brother was there.
Yeah, who's that?
His name was Philip Bean. You remember him?
In those years he was there?
I could be, yeah. He was also close to Rabbi London over the years.
Yeah.
He used to help him with, because he was a lawyer, he used to help him with all kinds of problems.
What you don't know for that year, where are you from originally?
Williamsburg.
You're from Williamsburg. That's where that was his home territory, Rabbi London.
Yeah, so he went to that yeshiva a couple of years.
Uh-huh. Maybe if I'd see him, I would know him.
He's not living anymore. He passed away. And he was always close to Rabbi London. In fact, one year he spoke at one of the dinners.
Yeah, I spoke a few times for them also.
Yeah.
And I got Nebuchadnezzar to speak by the Leviaries.
Who was this?
The Rabbi Yankum one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, damn.
This is this past winter.
What's the brother's name?
The brother's name is Yechiel, Rabbi Yechiel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, he spoke by my brother's Leviathan too. To Rabbi Yankum. Yeah. Okay, that's not the story. Oh, so you were by London, and then from London...
I went to Vineland.
That was on Howard Avenue?
I was on Howard Avenue.
Right.
Well, Howard Avenue, and then they moved to the east, to the west side.
I remember that.
They moved to Riverside Drive. I was
right,
there
right.
also.
Right.
And then I went to Vineland.
Uh-huh. Did you know Oppenheim, I forgot what they call him now, days. I think we called him Robert at the time. Robert Oppenheim. He had a brother there, too. two Oppenheim brothers that went back out of London. Those could be in those years too.
If you mention some other names, I'll show you.
Okay.
Herschel Frank, you know Herschel Frank?
No. I never went there.
But names, you know.
I know it by second hand.
I hear.
Yeah. Okay. So you were in London, and now, so what year were you in London?
1953 to 1957. In 1957, I went to Vineland for 2 years. Uh-huh. Rav Moshe Eisman, Zichron Avrocha, was my Rebbe there, and he's a Talmud of the Rishiva, of course.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you the Santa Zach Rav Moshe Eisman said.
Yeah.
Rav Moshe Eisman, it seems when he was in Lakewood.
Yeah.
He learned in Europe in Ponovich.
Right.
Not Ponovich. Not, you know.
Right.
He came to Lakewood. It seems, you'll ask others who were older than I, because I got there, of course, he was my Rebbe already. Mm. The Rosh Hashanah had tainas on Rav Moshe Eisman. What they were going to know, I'm not sure. You could ask Rav Yitzchak Feigelstock, you could ask Feivelson, you could ask them. They know.
It wasn't just an argument, it was a taina.
It was taina. Yeah, I think he had a St. Chaburus, he had an Oilema that he took. He had tainas, whatever.
Uh-huh.
When he was going to start the Yeshiva in Vineland, so he went to the Rosh Hashanah. One time he walked into the base measure, he walked in very late at night in Vineland, uh-huh. Rav Moshe Eisman. And you started schmoozing a bit. It was really late. It was like 1 o'clock to us.
Yeah.
And he started talking about the Yeshiva. That's all.
Yeah.
So he said, when he saw the Yeshiva, the Yeshiva got tainus of me, he said.
Yeah.
So I went in before I left, and I said, if the Yeshiva had tainus of me, I want to ask Yeshiva Michael. So the Yeshiva said, I have tainus on you. I was like, I have tainus. So he said, Afal Pekin.
Uh-huh.
The Rosh Hashiva looked down for about 15-20 seconds. Then he looked up at me and he said, Ich bin der Meuchel Belev Gomer.
Uh-huh.
It's a very dick and ice.
Uh-huh.
In other words, he just garnered all his, and he was kaivish, he was his highness, I'm Meuchel Belev Gomer.
Uh-huh.
That was it. He was like, anyway.
Yeah.
So
then how did you come to Lakewood after that?
When I felt that, you know, I was I wanted to, I always had in mind to go to Lakewood. Mm-hmm. That was my matura,
uh-huh.
You know. But there weren't too many places to go in those days.
Right.
I mean, if you wanted to continue learning, there was Spring Valley and
uh-huh.
Lakewood. That was
uh-huh.
it, really.
In 50, what did you come to Lakewood?
59.
Uh-huh. And what was the introduction?
What do you mean, what was the introduction?
I mean, you had to go for Fahair or something.
No. I had once wanted to go there earlier.
Yeah.
And Rav Moshe Eisman wanted me to stay yet, so he called Rosh Hashanah Ogra Baron and asked him to speak to me. I should stay a little bit longer.
Uh-huh.
I have what to gain over there. I should stay. So Rosh Hashanah said, that was it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know him then, you know, I mean, I knew of him.
You spoke to the Rosh Hashanah
on the phone, just over the phone.
Oh, you spoke to Rav Baron on the phone?
Yeah, Rav Moshe Eisman called him uh-huh. and asked him to speak to me,
uh-huh.
and he handed me the phone.
Uh-huh. And what did he tell you?
He told me, you have what to learn over there yet, you have a lot to, you should stay there yet.
Uh-huh.
So that's it, you know, by me, it was just, you know, the God of the Lord make us up to blind, so I had no prayer.
Yeah, right.
That's all.
Okay, then you came to Lakewood.
Then I finally came to Lakewood. The Rosh Hashanah was not there at the time. It was the summertime,
uh-huh.
and he had gone with the Rav Yaakov Schiff to Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
That's when he got him married. That's when
uh-huh.
he made the Shidduch over there.
Oh, that's when he made the Shidduch.
Yeah.
And that was what year again?
That would be 59.
59, all right.
I'm sorry to think we misspoke, but that's...
No, it's all right. Yeah. It's easier to have to retranslate. A lot of people, when they speak, they're very prepared the years of what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Because they know they're going to be called...
have that much to tell you to prepare.
Yeah, right. But okay, so then what happened when you came there?
I got chaprus and I started learning, and I'll tell you an interesting thing also.
Yeah.
Rabbi Pez of Avrocha said that he felt I could use a blotchier.
Uh-huh.
Rosh Hashanah did not say a blotchier
right.
by any stretch of imagination.
Right.
So he told me, go in and ask Rishi that you want a blanchier.
Yeah.
And so, I didn't, not that he should say it, I mean, but I should, someone should say a blanchier.
Right.
So Rabbi Per was my Rebbe too. So I said, oh yeah, he told me to do it, I'm going to do it. I went in, and Rishi, he went in once or twice, every time, maybe two or three times. Finally, at first he asked Rabbi Yitzchak Feilschnuck to say it. He didn't want to do it. Uh-huh. And then he asked Meir Hershkowitz.
Okay, so that was only for you, for a group?
No. So it was for four or five of us.
Uh-huh.
Rabbi Meir Hershkowitz was the, he was Maskim. And he used to say for us, and it was an evening, he used to say for us, it wasn't La Fuke the Rosh Hashanah yet, it was in addition to. So Lamaise,
but on the same sugya.
The same sugya. The only thing is, it was a blotchy for maybe the first 5 minutes of the first time.
Uh-huh.
After that, he was Mufalpul from the Mayor. The Mayor is a very big Lamdin.
Uh-huh.
So he said a lot of love to say. It was not technically a blotchy.
Uh-huh.
Even though officially it was, it didn't turn out to be that way.
But you were able to grasp it.
Because it's sort of one-on-one, even though there were four or five of us, you could ask him, you could stop, you know. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't dare stop the Rishi Bezat in the middle of a shiur. Some people didn't. In fact, I'll tell you another mice. Rav Moshe Eisenman, in the middle of a shiur that he was saying in Vineland,
yeah.
Someone once hacked him to Zach, so he said, he looked at the bracha and he said, Wie der Rosh Hashiva von Lakewood Flake Zogen, Stell zu der Kopf zu der Gemara, nicht der Gemara zum Kopf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what he said to him.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's Wie der Rosh Hashiva von Lakewood Flake Zogen, right?
Yeah.
So one time, Rav Yitzchak Feigelstock, so Zankazant, used to like to learn with younger. I was younger, and he needed a chavrus. He wanted so someone stell to me with him, and so I learned with him for a year.
Yeah.
So one time we were learning, and it was Shabbos, we were walking, so he said, let's walk, we'll talk on the street and learning. So we're walking up and down, you know, and then he says to me, he says, one time, someone hacked into Rosh Hashiva. He was so angry at him. He said to him, Stell to the cup to the Gemara, that the Gemara some cup.
Uh-huh.
So he said, your vase there to the Gemara of the Gazak? So I said, Rabbi Eisman. He said, how did you know?
Yeah.
I said, because that's not how you say, except the Rosh Hashiva flakes, as if it was a...
Yeah, I see.
It was a one-time shot, and it was to him, directed at him. But meanwhile, he used it.
He was known to be speak up a lot.
Yes, in the middle of the shit,
yeah,
too.
Right.
Yes. So he used to give it to him. Someone told me that he once told him that "Tu mit dein ganze Volk," he would get very excited if someone hacked up.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was it. He was just excited because he was, when Rosh Hashanah said a shiur, he had to be there. He was like electric. Anyone, even if you understood shiur, didn't understand the shiur, but you could see he was electric. His eyes, anyway, I glanced at the gag.
Yeah.
Every once there was a lawyer there when we went to collect, after he was nifta, we went, Rav Yitzchak Feigelstock got us all together, we should build a dining room.
Uh-huh.
The dining room. And it was done. That the original dining room that they built, that was just torn down not that long ago, was his arm. And we, a whole bunch of us, went. And anyway, we went to this lawyer in Lakewood who wasn't from Yiddish.
Remember his name?
I don't remember his name. I don't remember his name. I see it might have been Cohen, but I'm not sure. Lichtman Cup, his name was Cohen, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, he was on like 2nd or 3rd Street over there. We went in to speak to him. He says, oh, yeah. Then we spoke to the rabbi who was Nifta Rashid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the rabbi with the eyes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, everybody has eyes. Uh-huh. But his eyes were so glanzadik, especially if you ever saw him. We once went to Philadelphia on this same thing collecting, and that fellow's name was Dr. Cohen. It was a whole business. This guy, he said he once walked in by Havdalah.
Yeah.
And he said... Because we met him, we were renting a car. He was returning a car.
Yeah.
We weren't. He was on. It wasn't even on our list to go to see. Mm-hmm. He was also a friar. The lady saw. I don't know, like. Anyway, he said he walked in. He said, "I'll never forget it." And it was a sight to see. in the Rishi was glancing to get eight with a white beard and the Abdullah candle in front of it.
Uh-huh.
It was, I mean, you don't forget it. And someone walked up the street and saw it. It was like seeing a mala, really, was saying something. But okay, that's neither here nor there. But those glances to Gagan used to, when he'd say a shiur, it seemed to shine out. It was like, they say Rav Naftali Trump was like that also. He used to, when he said a shiur, he was so ufkalep that he used to tons come out when he said a shiur.
Uh-huh. I heard something like this.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So,
what else happened?
Yeah, I'm sure people told you that he couldn't for them shack other issues.
I like repetition, by the way.
You do?
Yes.
And the raid was, there were the new buildings there, now, which is now an old building, but there was an artist's conception of it. So they built it the way it is, and they put in some extra trees that weren't really there.
Uh-huh.
And the Rishi said something, take it, fine check, I hate check.
Uh-huh.
It was very, or maybe it was on letterhead, or so it was something that they put in some trees,
Like artist conception.
Yeah. But an existing building.
Uh-huh.
The existing building, it didn't have those trees, so
uh-huh.
Take it away.
About the shiurim and about the routine of the week.
You have to meet the people who are there longer. You should call Rabbi Yaakov Schneidman too.
He spoke to me, right?
All right, okay. So he was there twice as long as I was.
But the routine could have been the same.
The routine was the same. Rashiva used to come Thursdays.
Yeah.
And leave Monday. Uh-huh. The rest of the week, he used to be in New York. He used to work for Chinuch Atzmai. He used to work day and night for Chinuch Atzmai.
And what was the...
work for them, because meaning he used to raise funds for them. He wasn't paid by them.
Uh-huh. And what was the routine when during that time that he was there? What was...
He said a shiur, and he said...
But the Thursday he said a shiur?
I'm trying to remember the... He said... He didn't say on Thursday. He used to come in on Thursdays. He said on Shabbos. He used to say on Shabbos. And he said on Sunday. Friday night, he used to have Bachrim, some of the top Bachrim, come in, and he would say over the shiurim.
Uh-huh.
That he was going to say. That,
who were they?
Moshe Hirsch.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yankenstein was there. That might have because he was married. He got married very young.
Uh-huh.
He came there very young. Got married very young. So he was married already. The only called in Bachram was Moshe Hirsch, Meir Stern.
Moshe Hill Hirsch.
Moshe Hill Hirsch. Yeah. Yeah. Nishnevaitin.
Yeah.
Trying to remember. Chaim Epstein. Rabbi Chaim Leib Epstein.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. Uh-huh. There may have been one or two others, but that was basically it. Reb Chaim Leib Epstein used to say this year over.
Uh-huh.
After a shiur, there would be three people that would say over.
Who were they?
Reb Chaim Leib Epstein, he was the Ika. Then there was Meir Hardstein, Reb Meir Hardstein.
Yeah.
And then there was Shmuel Miller, Shlomo Miller, excuse me. Shlomo Miller used to say over also.
Those you
and he was very young, but he was Shlomo Miller then also.
Amen.
Anyway.
And Thursday night, anything happened?
I don't remember.
Fridays, during the day,
What?
I'm trying to see if anything you remember by...
I remember. People say you don't appreciate what you have at the time when you have it.
Right.
When he walked into the Beis Medrash, I used to feel, a case of God from the Friyadik Adar just walked in. You know what I mean? It's, at least with me, I have a feeling everyone felt that way, but I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to think ahead, you're not trying, now in retrospect, I remember I used to think, B'Shas Maisa, like a God from the Friyadik Adar, and he's walking in here now.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like a, it was a,
It was so real.
Yeah, he was the Rishi. I can't tell you. I was thinking of something just what you said about this year. I thought of something flashed through my mind. I lost it already. Mm-hmm. So it had to do something with this year, I think.
Did you ever have...
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what it is before I forget.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because this happened to Yechiel Per.
Yeah.
I don't know if he told about it.
Maybe you, I don't remember.
I once mentioned this to him at a chasm about 3 years ago. And I tell it to me, he didn't remember this. But this is what he came out and he told me this at the time. He went in, he was in the Russian Kulder, or he went in, and Rav Shnei was standing there too. So he asked him if he knows the Shir. So he always used to ask Baruch Dad, his name is Shir. So he did, I'm sorry. So he felt about 6'4".
Yeah.
Rav Shiva was not 6'4" by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
It was very short.
Yeah.
And he said, he doesn't. So he stood up and he grabbed him by his collars.
Yeah.
By the collar. And he says, "Du treffst auf Gold, das du leben die Jungen von Mr. Schellach, das nicht mehr haben, sein zu nicht hören, die Chidushim." So Rav Shnei got in and sort of parted them and said, yeah, you know, he got them apart. He said, he quieted the Rishim. Von jetzt an, er wird sich hangt an in die Schirm. From now on, he's going to... He'll
concentrate.
So... I once mentioned the Yechiel Per, and he didn't remember it. It sounds sort of familiar. I said, I don't know, if that happened to me, I would never forget for the rest of my life.
Right.
But he said, yeah, it sounds like something like it was a poetry, because he told me right after it happened, he told me that that was the nusach. If you live the years of Mr. Shalach, you would be Mechamed the Yeshiva. You're stepping on gold. The Yeshiva was, Yeshiva were like, by him with Takakol. One time they misplaced, he had a books with the, you know, the written with the shiurim in it that he wrote. You know,
right.
The one time it was misplaced. He was ice match till they found it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember someone, one of the Bachman was there when he was looking for it. He said you wouldn't believe how ice match the Rishiv was.
Uh-huh.
Then found it. Oh, okay. He was like, alright.
Other things that transpired.
I'll tell you something. The interesting is when someone offered me a job. I didn't have much money. I didn't have any money.
Okay.
And he offered me a job for Ben Hasman in Sukkot.
Yeah.
But the job entailed writing, among other things.
Writing?
Yeah, writing. You know, writing. I have to write down, I don't know what orders or whatever. I never took the job.
Uh-huh.
You'll hear. So I went, it was much Yom Kippur. So I went in the Rishiv to ask him if, you know, it's all right to write and things. So he says, "Did I scalp?" And he put his hand in his pocket to take it. And he realized, I don't know if he ever had money in his pocket, but it might seem kept me executive, man. If that's guilt, if only him guilt, you know, that's what he said. I never went back for money for it. You know what I mean? But he was, that was his first reaction. That's guilt, you know, like. He said, "Nishkadai." He said, "Nishkadai." I didn't take the job because of that.
So you didn't take the job?
He said, "Nishkadai." He said, "Nishkadai." So I didn't do it. Not because of the writing. I think he just didn't want me to work alone. You know.
Get involved in work.
Not involved in work. But, you know, call him mate. Go work during the Sukkot. It wasn't the thing to do. For Ben Tyre, anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, you see his initial reaction was like, I'll give you money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, he knew Americans also. You know, I was in there in his room. Wanted me to make a phone call for him.
Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly the number of the telephone that he wanted. So he said, Ruft so at like 871 24 28 40, let's say.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. Now, Yancy, we know, you and I know that the numbers go a little different in English.
Right.
The 24, we say 24, it goes the other way around.
You can invert them.
Yeah, you're right. So he said, 24, 8, 40. So, yeah, okay. And I walked to the door to go out, and by the time I got to the door, it was all mixed up. So I turned around, just to ask him, but I wasn't even half turned around. He said, 24, 8, 40. He was waiting for me to turn around. I mean, he knew Americans got the numbers, you know.
Inverted.
Anyway,
he meant 24, 48.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right.
Well, not, because you read it Fear and Smiley before 20.
After the
felt. Yeah, right.
So, like, to me, but you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But he anticipated that.
Yeah, but he was waiting. He was standing, he was looking at me with his finger pointed. He was just waiting for me to turn around.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll tell you, at the Santa Zach,
yeah.
we had a whole, my wife was teaching there. We have to say after I was married, of course.
Yeah.
And my wife was teaching in the day school. And there was a whole, there was a whole strike. It was a big night. When Fagelstock was involved and I was involved in it. A number of the younger light were involved in because our wives were teaching there.
Was it money?
Yeah, it was money. They were paying us bupkis and the school in Bradley Beach or Deal or wherever it was.
Asbury Park
was right. But also they were paying, like, in those days, like this in Lakewood was $1,900 they were paying for the year for teaching,
yeah.
And then there they were paying for $2,400.
Uh-huh.
You know, which is a big difference. And now those hundreds don't mean anything, but you know, those days,
yeah.
And it was a big difference. You know,
what was the stipend from the for the Kyle?
$40 a week. $40 a week. Yeah. But rent was $95. You know.
I remember that. When I came, also it was $95 with 113.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have the 1 month free. Okay.
No, it was actually $100 for 1 month free.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a whole business that Torah Masorah got involved in it, the Machlokes and the Reshiva. Reshiva was there was a whole business. Reshiva had Irving Bunim get involved.
Uh-huh.
We went out to see Irving Bunim, and then... The whole business, I was sort of the... Rabbi Yitzchak Feldschmidt was the general.
Uh-huh.
And I was the... I was the guy. He told me, he just had to say, he said, it's going to take a lot of time. It's not going to... You're not going to do the sagas. When you're in a milchama, you know, it says Hashem... about Baal Milchamais.
Yeah.
So Rashi says over there, he's pointing, he's opened the Chumash, but it says over there, Lokabas of Adam.
Yeah, right. Two hands.
That a person can only do one thing at a time. Rashi can do many things.
Yeah.
So he said, but you see from this, the Rashi is telling you that someone's in the Milchama can only do that, can't do anything else.
I see. Who said this?
Rabbi Yitzchak Feldschmidt. Yeah. So that kachavi. So for a number of weeks, that's all I was doing.
Uh-huh.
So he said, "You're ready to do that." So that's what happened. Anyway, during that teacher strike, there was they find it with Irving Bunim and the dust, and then someone made sort of an agreement. But it was the kind of thing that, you know, like, what's going to happen? Maybe it was good for right then, but down the road, maybe, you know. So the Rashi, we went into Rashi to speak to him about it, because what's going to happen a little bit later? So, you know, Rashi didn't tell over Meissen that I don't remember thing of, you know, especially funny Meissen. But he told us, I went in with this Chaim Reisman, Oliver Shalom.
Uh-huh.
It was his wife. He himself was teaching the day school.
Uh-huh.
And he was a younger man. He was nipped like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he said, Rashiva said, you're worried what's going to happen with, you know, if we'll give them, we'll sign this thing, then later on they'll do this. So he said, he still told the Maisa that once a Poritz,
yeah.
So Rashiva's at Al Ravan telling this Maisa,
yeah.
That once a Poritz, made a gazera that if he has a dog and he wants the Yidden have to teach the dog to speak French.
Uh-huh.
And if not, he's kicking them all out. He's banishing all of them.
Uh-huh.
And it meant they were finished. I'm not saying
right.
Anything. So what are you going to do? So one Yid went in.
Yeah.
He said, I'll speak to him. He went in. He's there for a little while. He comes out with the dog on a leash.
Yeah.
So he said, what happened? He said, I was macabre to teach the dog French.
Uh-huh.
They said, what are you, Meshuggah? He said, I feel like this. I told the parts like this. Listen, even for a human being to learn French, a foreign language, it takes time.
Yeah.
He said, you got to give me at least 2 years to teach the dog French. So he's masking. And I figured, in 2 years, the Hundwitz Staben or the Parts Staben. That's what they should say. He said, don't worry about what happens down the road.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was his story to Fayez us. Uh-huh. Okay.
Anything else?
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, like,
anything else? No other incident.
I'll tell you one thing also. The Rashidus being orangutan and learning was like a Muridika Kayak. If he'd tell someone to make a phone call for him.
Yeah.
Right? So he'd sit and learn until he made the phone call. As soon as he handed the phone, he'd speak to the person. Uh-huh. And it could have been something, then he'd give it back the phone to hang up, and he would bring right back to learning. Uh-huh. Immediately, but not like, then he'd get settled down and like instantly. Uh-huh. Instantly.
He was able to hold track.
Mamish, like, he told me once, from Moshe Eisman, that he went with the Rashiv on a trip somewhere, I guess it was collecting funds or something. He said, we were going the whole day. It was Mamish at night, we were traveling back. I think it was by train or plane, I don't remember what he said. He said, it was so tiring. And Rashiv looked at me, for was left in this? Why aren't you learning? He said, he was sitting there just learning. He said he could turn it on, like you turn on a faucet. They remember the lesson. I was like, he could just turn it on immediately. It was a kayak that he
like
had.
Superhuman power.
Yeah, it was like, can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Hold on, please.
To turn it back on. Okay. You were talking about that superhuman power.
I mean, this is what he's used. He said he was nishtayman from it, the Moshe Eisman.
Nothing else comes.
I don't know what to tell you. Telling you more than I thought I would tell you.
Okay. Then tell me something about the legacy that you left with.
So let me just tell you another thing that the Rashiv is, you always see Rashiv, he had the starkheitness, but he had a very soft side to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know him intimately, I did not. But like I saw certain things. Marshall, when I was going out, so it was shy, but will I get Kaimel or not? It wasn't an automatic thing.
Yeah.
And I had to be preparing myself to tell. It was it.
Yeah.
And if I didn't get that, it sounds like not a lot of money, those, but without that, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to sit and learn. I was so nervous. I remember I went in, and I said, can I speak to the Shiva? She had come to hand, And they said, so I told him that he'd been going out, this and this, and this is the mishpacha. So he saw I was nervous, and she.
You're talking about
I went into a shiva to tell him that there's this. It was my wife, who's now my wife for 40 years.
Very
so that and she teaches in Borough Park in the Beis Yankov. So he saw I was nervous. He said, say a good to school. It's very good school. Yeah, we said, it was not relevant to the conversation. Yeah. Glad that he knew this mishpacha. He even knew that my shvez was like gesund. He used to say a shir on Shabbos in the shtibu. He knew about it. There were very few mishpachas that were interested in the shiva in those days. So whoever was, he knew about them. And he said, good, was as far as I went out like on a cloud. But he was very soft and nice, it was like I saw he was trying to make me feel comfortable, mm-hmm. Anyway, one other mice, and then I really have to.
Yeah.
He used to be on the same floor, in one of the old buildings. His room was on one floor, and I was on the same floor at the other end of the hall. So one time I was walking down the hall, and he opens the door, and he looks at me, and I froze. I mean, yesterday I told you how I looked at the Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah.
I froze, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. It must have been probably 20 seconds, but I'm telling you, it felt like it was a half hour. I was just frozen. Then finally just went in and closed the door. I smashed. Anyway, and a little bit of a while later, I don't know, a week or two later, it happened again, the same thing. He looks at me, I look at him, he looks at me, I smash again. So I went in, a guy that spoke to Yechiel Per.
Yeah.
That was a bachur, and he was a bachur too. I told him what happened. So he said, Chaim, you should know something. The Rosh Hashiva is Zeya Edla. He may have wanted something, but he didn't, you know, he doesn't want a bunch of. Ask him when it happens again, ask him, does the Rosh Hashiva need anything? So, alright, okay, forgot about it, you know. Then, about a week or so later, I'm walking down the hall, also the door opens, and he looks at me, and I look at him. My initial reaction was not to ask him anything, I just froze again. Then I said, remember, oh yeah, I said, the Rosh Hashiva daft epis? Oh, he said, Arash Mechelik Aleph. You know, and I, for example, had one in my room. I was so besimcha. Mm-hmm. Taki always wanted something, but he didn't ask me.
He was hesitant.
Uh-huh.
He was hesitant.
He didn't want to, so he said that Rosh Hashiva Zeya Edel, he doesn't want a Matriach HaBacha, so ask if he needs something. And that kachab, he needed something. He wanted a Rashba. At that time, he wanted a Rashba. I don't know what he wanted the other time. Basically, that's... Some of the stories that I remember. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's what you're looking for.
No, it's all part of a mosaic, like they say.
And what are you going to do with this mosaic? I guess you could turn off the machine. Pretty much. You had Yitzhak Wasserman.
Yeah.
He was, he's in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You had Avram Cooper, who's a Rebbe in
Long Beach.
You had Levi Dicker,
right?
Who was on yeshiva now.
Well, I spoke to him already.
All right. Now, I'm just saying, look what happened to his talmidim.
Mm-hmm.
You had Chaim Zolokovitz.
I spoke to him too.
I'm just saying, but these are all, you know, he had talmidim that made yeshivas all over America. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
I have a little write-up about this, and in that write-up, I say why I'm doing it is because. How did he do this? Because he infected these people, and these people went out.
Something. He never sent people. He didn't say go out to the open yeshiva. He didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He said sit and learn. The mela, they were able to go out and
right.
Play yeshivas.
Yeah, it was an automatic thing. But it was all because of him.
That's right, 100%. No shim shaylos. You know, who was there then? That also those older ones. You had Yisrael Meir Kagan, who's
right.
A member also. You had Rav Yitzchak Feigelstock. You had
right.
Mayor Hershkowitz. You had Rav Shmuel Feivelson.
Right.
You know, it's like not pushing. Of course, you know, in those days, you know, anyone who was interested in learning, there weren't that many places to go. But look what he produced, though. You know, it's like everybody writes. You know, that no one ever thought you could make a European starting yeshiva in America. He did it.
He did more than make a yeshiva. He made a world.
That's right.
He created a new world.
That's correct. You're right. He changed the face of America, Mamish.
Because when I used to go to the Mashgiach Rav Nosson Zatzal, during the yard sale, I used to give a shmooze to the Beis Medrash. So I used to sit there and I look around. I said, look at all these boys here. He said, they don't know what he's talking about. Because he talked about what the Rashiva was able to accomplish and how difficult it was to do that in those days.
It's tough for them to imagine, Bismarck.
And I said, they don't really know who. And I said, but I said, I lived through that period and I saw what happened and I'm living in Lakewood and I see what's going on and I'm astounded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I have to go to as many people as possible and catch their feelings. Put it down so when the people could listen to it afterwards, they'll say, is that what the world was before and this is what he created?
That's right. You're really right.
Yeah. So I just with...
You know, it's like, you know, a Bach asked me recently, you know, today if a Bach wants to get married, he just comes to Lake, they put what's called in the freezer.
Right.
You know the expression.
Yeah, sure.
So Baruch said, did they have that in the freezer in your day with Lakewood? I said, are you kidding? You were lucky if you found a girl that wanted to marry someone who was going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
She put you in the freezer yet? It was a you know, all the people that went out with the same girls. Yeah. You know, this one's wife went out with him at one time. You know, until yeah. they found the right shidduch, but because they were just gezelt the mishpachas, they mm-hmm. even wouldn't want someone to sit and learn. It was considered a chesaron by the Hamayinam.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's for kids. If you don't sit and learn, it's a chesaron. That's all because of him. It's all because of Shiva.
That's right. It's a big legacy. But look, when I always ask myself what I'm doing is why I'm doing this. He says, Mashiach will come already and we won't have to do this. But you see, people did things in the olden days before Mashiach came. Of course, you had to do them.
Yeah.
You can't say, I'm waiting for it. You don't wait for Mashiach. You got to do it now.
Right. Good. Okay.
That's a concern. Because sometimes I feel like, why am I doing it? Mashiach will be here tomorrow. Well, the Rashi will be here.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Right. Very good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
And have a good convention.
Amen. Gamma Mar.